ecstasy when he's singing this line. He gets all choked up over and over again. Tries to sing the line and just chokes. Tadira Chiranasibi, the meaning of that is, this is my desire that birth after birth I may live with those devotees who serve the lotus feet of these six Goswamis. So that's a very wonderful bhajan of Prabhupada's. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 27. Indra and Surabhi offer prayers. Text number 10 and 11. Text 10, we can all recite together.
Namastubhyam Bhagavate Karushaya Mahatmane Vasudevaya Krishnaya Sattvatam Pataye Namaha.
Obeisances unto you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Great Soul, who are all-pervading and who reside in the hearts of all. My obeisances unto you, Krishna, the chief of the Yadu dynasty. In text 11, the word meanings, swa of his own devotees, chanda, according to the desire, upatta, who assumes, dehaya, his transcendental bodies, Vishuddha, perfectly pure, Jnana, knowledge, Murtaye, whose form, Sarvasmai, to him who is everything, Sarva Bijaya, who is the seed of all, Sarva Bhuta, of all created beings, Atmane, who is the indwelling soul, Namaha, obeisances.
Swachandopata Dehaya Vishuddha Jnana Murtaye Sarvasmai Sarva Bijaya Sarva Bhutatmane Namaha Swachandopata Pata Dehaya Vishuddha Jnana Murtaye Sarvasmai Sarva Bijaya Sarva Bhutatmane Namaha Swachandopata Dehaya Vishuddha Jnana Murtaye Sarvasmai Sarva Bijaya Sarva Bhutatmane Namaha.
Sarva Bhutatmane Namaha.
sarva bijaya sarva bhutatmane namaha.
Ladies. Translation: unto him who assumes transcendental bodies according to the desires of his devotees, unto him whose form is itself pure consciousness, unto him who is everything, who is the seed of everything, and who is the soul of all creatures, I offer my obeisances. Purport. We could hardly construe from the first line of this verse that God is somehow impersonal, but assumes a personal material body. It is clearly said here that the Lord assumes different forms according to Swachanda, according to his own desire or according to the desires of his devotees. An impersonal God could hardly reciprocate with the personal desires of its devotees. Nor could an impersonal God itself have desires, since desire is characteristic of personality. Therefore, the Lord's manifesting different forms in a personal way, responding to personal desires, indicates that he is eternally a person and manifests his different transcendental bodies as an expression of his own eternal nature. The word Vishuddha Jnana Murtaye is most significant. Murti means the form of the deity, and it is specifically stated here that the Lord's form is itself completely pure consciousness. Consciousness is the primary spiritual element, distinct from any of the material elements, and even distinct from the subtle or psychological material elements, mundane mind, intelligence, and false ego, which are simply a psychic covering over pure consciousness. Since the Lord's form is made of pure consciousness, it can hardly be understood as a material body like the mortal bags of flesh and bones we carry around in this world. In the last two lines of this verse, there is a poetic emphasis on the word sarva, everything. The Lord is everything, he is the seed of everything, and he is the soul of every creature. Therefore, let us join with Indra in offering our obeisances to the Lord. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Indra is redeeming himself by reciting these, offering these wonderful prayers to Lord Krishna. Text number 10 doesn't have any purport, but I'm sure any of the acharyas could have given quite a lengthy purport on text number 10. We look at all of the words. Indra is definitely inspired here to acknowledge or point out many of the qualities and characteristics of Krishna. He begins, Namastubhyam Bhagavate. Of course, we're all familiar with this, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. The Bhagavate, the A part, the E at the end, means unto. Tubhyam Bhagavate, unto you, Bhagavate, or Bhagavata. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Bhagavata. Yasya Prasadat Bhagavat Prasadu. Chaturvidasi Bhagavat Prasad. I was just thinking this morning at Mangalarti, this song has Bhagavat Prasad twice. First, it's about the prasad you eat, and the second time, it's about Krishna's mercy. Both kinds of prasad. So they're Bhagavat Prasad, Om Namo Bhagavate. So here, Indra's first title, or characteristic, he's referring to Krishna as Bhagavat, which means the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is a Vedic mantra, of course, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. It's called the Dvadashakshara mantra, which just means 12 syllables. You know, often the different Vedic mantras, especially those that are chanted, for example, as Gayatri mantras, they're sometimes identified by the number of syllables in them. So this is the 12-syllable mantra. You may remember when Dhruva Maharaj went to the forest and Narada Muni arrived, Narada first tried to discourage him, but then eventually he initiated him into the chanting of this mantra. This was what Dhruva Maharaj chanted, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And of course, with so many mantras, it begins with Om. We also, you know, somehow it seems that Om has been taken over by the impersonalists, but Om is an address to Krishna. Om is Krishna. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Pranava Sarva Vedeshu, I'm Om in all the Vedic mantras. And Prabhupada would point out that even in worshipping the demigods and different sacrifices, because Om is there at the beginning of the mantras, then it's acknowledging that actually Krishna is being worshipped through this worship of the demigod. So Om or Pranava, Prabhupada points out in when Narada Muni gave Dhruva Maharaj this mantra to chant, it begins with Om, and generally it's understood that Om is only for the Brahmanas. Only the Brahmanas can chant Om, others can't, the other classes can't chant Om. But Dhruva Maharaj was a Kshatriya. So Prabhupada is saying, here's a clear example from many thousands or millions of years ago, where Narada Muni is having someone other than a Brahmin chant Om. And then Prabhupada says, so this proves that when one receives the mantra from a bona fide spiritual master, then one is given the potency, when you can say it becomes a Brahmin automatically by the blessing of the spiritual master, and one is able to chant this Vedic mantras. So Om is the bija. Actually, Krishna is called Sarva Bijaya in the second verse, the seed of everything. So mantras have bijas. The first word is often referred to as the bij, or the seed of the mantra. And the acharyas explain that the full potency of the mantra is actually present within that seed. Just like in the seed of a plant, the whole plant is there, unmanifest, you can say. So the seed of the mantra is there in the bija, the seed. So just by chanting Om, if you do it with concentration, like in our, those of the brahmanas, we chant Gayatri mantras. So the different mantras have different bijas. Or in worshipping the deities also, there are bijas connected to the mantras for worshipping the deities. Om and Kleem and Aim and Stream and Hreem and so on. You can find some of these in the Bhagavatam also. For example, in the chapter called The Residents of Navadvip Offer Prayers, so different prayers are there, and they begin with different bij mantras. So the different bijas actually have different, they refer to different aspects of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is explained in the supplement to the Pancharatra Pradeep, the deity worship manual, that Om especially evokes the eternality aspect of Krishna. And then some of the other ones, Shrim, Hrim, Aim, they refer to the Chit potency, and Kleem is for the Ananda potency. Kleem is called the Kama Beach. It's for fulfilling all of the desires, all of one's desires, especially, of course, one's spiritual desires in relationship with Krishna. So this is a part of the significance of Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, just that it begins with Om, which is so auspicious. It begins the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and again at the beginning of the second canto, It's also there, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So Bhagavat is Krishna, and the devotees or anything connected to Krishna is Bhagavata. Srimad Bhagavatam, or the devotees are Bhagavata. So it begins with Bhagavate. So the second name with which Indra addresses the Lord here is Purushaya. So this word Purushaya means unto the Purusha. So Purusha is also an extremely, I was thinking just, I'm sure the Acharyas could write volumes of books just on this word and its significance. I was doing some research on the Vedabase, and one thing I found, first of all, I was wondering, why are the avatars, the Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, and Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, called the Purusha avatars? Because, of course, Krishna is Purushottam in Bhagavad Gita. There's a wonderful, the last verses of the 15th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, or the Bhagavad Gita, rather, so nice. There is described how there are two classes of living entities, the kshara and akshara. That means the fallible and the infallible. And above them is the Supreme Purusha, Purushottama. And it says that one who knows that this Supreme Person, he knows everything. Purushottama. So sarva vid bhajate mam, and he worships me. Because he says, I am that Purushottam, that transcendental person. So this Purusha or Purushottam comes up in Bhagavad Gita. In fact, that the last verse of the 15th chapter says this is the most confidential part of the Vedic literature. We're hearing it right here in this one shloka. That Krishna is Krishna says, this is the most confidential part of the Vedic literature. That I am the Purushottam. And you should worship me, the Purusha. So the Purusha avatars. So Krishna is referred to as Purusha. So I was wondering, why are they called the Purusha avatars? So looking around a little more, I found that what we often find is that the word Purusha is used when there is consideration of Prakriti. So the Purusha avatars are especially connected with Prakriti. They're involved with the creation of this material world. Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. And Paramatma, the super soul in the heart, which of course is Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, or an expansion of Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, he's also called the Purusha. So this seems to be the significance that, of course, Krishna, it's also used, many words, I was thinking, they have kind of a technical sense, and then they have a more generic way in which they're used. So Purusha is like that. It's used in a kind of general way, but it's also used whenever they're specific in the context of Prakriti, then we hear about Purusha. Of course, these are the two, the Purusha and the Prakriti. And Krishna is Purushottam. And this idea that words are used sometimes specifically and sometimes in a general way, even a word like prema, so we hear the word prema, then we think, well, Krishna prema. There's kama and there's prema. But in the Bhagavatam, you'll find that the word prema and premna, which is a form of the word, is used in a general way also. For example, in the Karma Muni and Devahuti is described there. And I think also Swayambhuva Manu and maybe in Devahuti, at least in that section, I forget whether it was father and daughter or the husband and wife, but the word prema is used there. So prema is kind of used in a general way. So similarly, Purusha is also used, you might say, in a general way, but it's also used in a very specific way when it has to do with in relationship to the Prakriti. So then Mahatmane, Maha-Atmane, so Atma-Atmane, but Atmana. Atmana is like Atma. It's we know this word Atma. Atma means body, mind, or the soul, depending on the context in which it's used. Yasyatma puri guna preti dhatuke. So we can conceive of our atma also in different ways. And even just like the English word self, we say myself, so we may think, I'm not really talking about my soul necessarily if I use that word. But sometimes when I'm talking about self, I mean the soul. I don't mean this conception of myself, the hankar. So the Atma, we can see because of the context that it's used in, it has different meanings. So similarly with Atmana, sometimes it means body, mind, or soul. So Krishna is the Mahatmana. He's the great soul. What is the, in the 16th chapter of the Gita, was I thinking, oh, yeah, the word is used there, Atmanam. 10th chapter, verse 15. Swayam evatmanatmanam vetatvam purushottama. This verse, because it's text number 15 in the 10th chapter, so we've just heard the nutshell verses of the Bhagavad Gita. Then param brahma, param dhamma, pavitam, param ambhavan, those verses. And then sarvam etavmritabmanye yam mam varasi keshava. O Krishna, I totally accept this truth, all that you have told me. This is Arjuna speaking. And then he says, indeed, this is the sarva evatmanatmanam. You alone know yourself by your own internal potency. Vetatvam purushottama. So again, here we have purusha, purushottama. But atmana, atmanam. Atmana here means by yourself. Atmanam, yourself. So Krishna is Atma. Just actually also in the Vedas, we find that sometimes the word Atma means the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nayam Atma pravachanena labhya namedaya nabahuna shrutena. There's this verse from one of the Upanishads, probably the Shrutashvatara Upanishad, which is often quoted, an important Upanishad for Vaishnavas. So Atma sometimes just means the Lord. So here we have, so we know Mahatma. Mahatma means soul or great soul. But the real Mahatma, of course, is Krishna. So here again, Mahatmane, and you're addressing Krishna as the great soul. There are many Atmas, but when you specifically point out Mahatma in the context of these other titles for Krishna, then it has even increased significance. Sen Vasudevaya, unto Vasudev, who dwells, so again, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. The word Vasa means residence. So the significance of the word Vasudev means his residence is everywhere. He lives everywhere. He's all-pervading. The impersonalists sometimes think this word is in an impersonal way. They think that this means that God is, everything is one, Vasudev, in that sense. I'm sure commentators on the Bhagavad Gita, when they come to this verse, Bahunam Janmanam Ante, Vasudeva Sarvamiti. Ah, here it is, proof. God is everywhere, everything, all one. But Vasudev, we know, of course, means also the son of Vasudev. So Vasa, I was thinking the impersonalists, they want to be that. That's the Vasa they want. They want to, Vasa means residence, so they want to be out themselves everywhere. That's the Vasa that they want. They want their residence to be everywhere. They want to be God. They want this, they fall into this last snare of Maya. This nice word that Prabhupada uses, the last snare of Maya. Trap. It's like you're trying to escape the forest, and you're the forest of material enjoyment. And there's so many traps, maybe you avoid so many of them, you're just about ready to get out, and then, step in a bear trap. That's a snare. You got caught. So they're thinking, vimuktamaninas, they're thinking they're liberated, but instead they get caught in this snare, this trap gets them. They think they're God. So this is the vasa that they want, the residence the impersonalist wants. Whereas a devotee, and I was quoting this, Tadera Charana Sevi Bhakta Sani Vas. A devotee wants his vas, his residence, to be always in the association of the devotees. The devotee prays for that. Lifetime after lifetime, just let me have the association of devotees, live in their company. Or, in another way, the devotee wants his residence to be in Brajadam. Be in Vrindavan Dham. More abhilash vilas kunje dio vas. We pray to Tulsi Maharani. More abhilash This is my abhilash. My desire is Vilas Kunje. In the pleasure groves, Vilas. Krishna has so many names with Vilas in them. So Vilas means pleasure, pleasurable pastimes. Vilas Kunje, in the pleasure groves. Dio Vas, give me residence there. That's where I want to live. Not Vasudeva, not everywhere, everywhere and nowhere, but only there, in Vrindavan Dham, in the association of devotees. So anyway, this is the idea of Vasudeva, one who dwells everywhere. Andantarastha paramanuche antarastham govindamari purusham damam jami. Here we have again the word purusha. So then he addresses him as Sri Krishna, just by name. This is significant too, because he may have been thinking of God and these other kinds of titles as the Purusha and so on, but he wasn't connecting Krishna to God, Indra. He was thinking this Krishna is just this little boy in this village. So I'm going to show him some power. But now he's acknowledging, he's in all these lists of the superlatives in reference to God, then he has inserted the name Krishna there. The name Krishna belongs in the same category as all of these other qualities, supreme qualities of the personality of Godhead. Then he refers to him as Satvatam Pataye, or unto Satvatapati. So this is another name of Krishna, Satvatapati. Translated here as chief of the Yadu dynasty. Actually, the Yadu dynasty has many branches. We read about the Vrishnis, the Andukas, and so on. The Satvatas, there's one of those. Sometimes Prabhupada calls them clans. I hear clans, I think of the Hatfields and the McCoys or something, you know, hillbilly clans. But clans means groups or sub-dynasties, different lines. So Satvatapati, Vasudeva is also called, Krishna's father is also called Satvatapati. So it seems that among the different Yadu clans, Krishna comes specifically from that one, the Satvata dynasty. Now Satvata also, of course, means devotees in relationship to Sat. There's also Anartopasamam Lokasya Janato Vidvangs Chakre Satvata Sanghitam. The Srimad Bhagavatam is called Satvata Sanghita because it's the Sanghita, you can say it's for the pure devotees, or it's about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is Sat. He's Om Tat Sat. So Satvata means in relation to him. So Satvata Pati can also mean the Lord of the devotees. There's one purport where Prabhupada defines Satvata like this. It means the pure devotees of the Lord. So in the second verse, there's so much to say, I'm just skimming through all these words. This, of course, and you might have said, this is the most striking part of this, these two verses, where Krishna fulfills the desires of his devotees by taking on different forms. Now the Vaishnava Acharyas, in different places, they describe how Krishna actually shows a unique form and unique characteristics. There's one purport where Prabhupada, I think he quotes Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, where he says Krishna has a particular characteristic or a particular quality for every single soul. So just imagine. Sankhya Atita Hichitkana. It says of the souls there. Sankhya Atita means above counting. Innumerable living entities. So there, it's unlimited living entities, but Krishna has a special quality, each one of us. So you might say he shows a particular side to himself that's only for us, only for that person, that individual, each individual. Now we have some kind of glimpse of this, you might say, when Krishna does his Leela avatars. They come for a specific purpose. And this can be taken in that way also. That he comes, he gives specific forms like Varaha avatar and Kurma avatar and so on. And he even creates new ones. Narasimha. He creates even those who are outside the species. In the first canto of the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada says that Krishna incarnates in all the different species of life. He says, in all societies of living entities, among human beings, demigods, and animals. So we have a few examples, but apparently, that Krishna appears in all this. Why not? He can appear as a boar, he can appear in any of them. And he says, actually, he does to deliver those in those species, which is mind-boggling to me. That when he's a boar, I don't know, he preaches to the other boars or something. I can never quite understand what Prabhupada meant by that. But actually, I was looking at the different references to this, and I was thinking, am I understanding this correctly? Maybe this can be taken in a different way. And I thought, maybe there's a little room here for reading this differently. That when Prabhupada talks about different societies, even though, you know, he's just talked about different species, maybe he's talking about like demigods and some demigods and those who have higher intelligence. So I'm not 100% sure that Krishna is preaching to the other boars when he's a Varaha avatar, but it seems to be that he may be saying that. So in any case, Krishna does come in so many different forms to deliver living entities. He comes in specific forms to... And of course, different living entities are attracted to that. We might think, well, how can someone be more attracted to Lord Varaha than to Lord Krishna, Tribhanga Lalita, playing his flute and so on? But somehow, that's the bhava, that's the attraction of that living entity. It's the sight of Krishna. Just like Bhishma, what did he want to see? He didn't want to see Krishna playing the flute necessarily. He wanted to see Krishna coming with that chariot wheel. That was his ecstasy. That's like, oh, finally, oh, this is, that's what he was waiting for. He wanted to see Krishna fighting because he's in that rasa. He's in that relationship with Krishna. That's one of the, there are 12, of course, rasas. So especially this side, that chivalrous rasa, he relishes. Sometimes these sub-rasas, they overwhelm the other ones, they might say. They're so powerful. So Bhishmadev, that's what he wanted. That's his ecstasy, to see that. So devotees are attracted to seeing Krishna in different ways, and Krishna reciprocates with that. That's his whole life, you can say. That's what Krishna lives for. That's why, you can say why he exists. We say he created us so he can enjoy it in that way. So he created us each as individuals because he has he loves that. He wants to fulfill the desires of the living entities. More than he wants to enjoy, he wants to facilitate the enjoyment of others. He wants to give them ecstasy. That's Krishna's bhakta vatsala. That's his overriding quality, giving to his devotees. People have so many tiny conceptions of God, but in the Bhagavatam we get such a broad, full understanding of the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And there's so much more, of course. Ananta Shesha has been talking about it since time immemorial with his unlimited mouths, and he still doesn't run out of things to say. So this is just touching on this. It's already quarter till, and I haven't even talked about the sarvas. Sarvasmaya, sarvabhijaya, sarvabhutatmate, vishuddha jnana murtaye. He's pure jnana. Jnana here is used as for chit. Because chit, sat chit ananda, chit means, we say, eternal, full of bliss and knowledge. So chit, we say knowledge. But chit means consciousness. These words are kind of used interchangeably. What does knowledge means? Consciousness. Full consciousness. So Krishna's body is made of chit. And I like the way it's said here in the purport. It says this is the primary spiritual element. Sometimes I look at it, just because sometimes we think, well, it's hard to think of something being made of eternity or made of knowledge. But maybe made of consciousness, maybe, at least for me, that's a little bit easier to grasp. Just like Prabhupada says, the living entity is consciousness and conscious. So you might say that Krishna is made of knowledge, the chit potency, and the characteristic of that knowledge is that it's ecstatic and it's eternal. So you might say these are adjectives or qualities modifying chit, but it doesn't matter because the adjectives and the noun, they're all one. There's no difference in the spiritual world. Krishna, the Satchitananda, they're all on the same level, even though it seems to indicate here that one is, in one sense, more fundamental. Anyway, I'll stop here. Let me just read through the translations. Obeisance is unto you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the great soul, who are all-pervading and who reside in the hearts of all. My obeisance is unto you, Krishna, the chief of the Yadu dynasty. Unto him who assumes transcendental bodies according to the desires of his devotees. Unto him whose form is itself pure consciousness. Unto him who is everything, who is the seed of everything, and who is the soul of all creatures, I offer my obeisances. Any questions, comments? You gonna let me go home today? Go home early? Mother Mati?
I heard in regards to Krishna coming in different living entities, I heard one time Radha Govinda Maharaj in his class, him saying that Krishna does come in every form, you know, mm-hmm. other living entities, fish, this, whatever. And then he mentions that it is to encourage them. Mm-hmm. So what I at least interpreted in my mind was that he comes in those forms, and not that he preaches to them, but he probably does foul stuff that they feel inspired and encouraged.
Yeah, of course, Krishna can do anything, so even though these living entities in these bodies usually have, they don't have higher thoughts where they can conceive really what's going on. But Krishna can bless them with that. Prabhupada says in different places, even an animal can become a devotee. So when Krishna comes in those forms, he can of course empower the living entities in those bodies to appreciate in a way that they normally couldn't. He can elevate their consciousness, obviously, or their intelligence. So somehow or other, or he can do it, obviously. He can do anything he wants. They're not their bodies, obviously, so why not?
I believe in 17th chapter, Prabhupada repeated this twice in 2nd chapter. That end of the annihilation, Sankarsan gets so angry because most of the jiva did not get out of the this universe, so from his third eye the fire comes out. And but on the Nagaloka or the Patala Loka, well, you have a Nagaraj name, so you probably know very well, that all these female snake, they actually get attracted by the anger of the Lord instead of getting upset or sad. Mm-hmm. And as a result, Sanatana Goswami says, they actually get promotion for further training and they join in the Ras Lila. So he does give teachings, you can say, in a many different form and shape.
So the Nagas are attracted to an Antashesha Naga.
Yeah.
But these Nagas in Nagaloka, they have a higher consciousness. They're not in the animal consciousness. They're more in human consciousness. Mm. Or higher.
Hayagriva, the lord of Okala. But you know they love horses so much, you know, so maybe you know they, you know, one day they can understand who's the lord of all the horses.
Yeah, patron saint of the equestrians.
Hayagriva, Hayagriva. Lord over Okala.
Srila Prabhupada tell to Upendra Prabhu, when Upendra Prabhu asked Prabhupada, Swamiji, how is possible if my relationship with the Lord as a lover, how is possible that father and son loving relation will turn into lover? Then Srila Prabhupada says, no, this is not how it is. All the relations are perfect, beautiful. Then Prabhupada put a pause and he says, actually if you are positioned as a lover in perfection of devotional service, you will realize. So it is not some imagination. But then in Brahmaji's prayers, we see that tam bhakti yoga paribhavita rita saroje, oh Lord, manifest his form by hearing. Suta ikshita patanana nata. Suta ikshita. The devotee hears, then his Ishtadev reveals that form in the heart, in the maturity. So we can see from that angle, but then we see the Maharaj Kulashekhar's life, that Prabhupada composed this Mukunda Mala Stotram, famous book. Hardly we talk about that book, but if you look at the Kulashekhar's life, he went through Vatsalya's mother Yashoda's, then went to Sitaram's, he even took the whole kingdom to conquer, kill Ravana, which was million years back, but somewhere that he was. And then he went through so many paths, and then at the end he came back to Narayan Bhakta. So it's very interesting that all are some or other accommodated by our acharyas, but Ishtadev is fixed.
Oh, state of Deva.
Well, one thing about the thought that came to me about karma and varaha and on and on and on. They're in the celestial realms. They're not, you know, preaching to the animals at Lion Country Safari, you know. So, and also they're interacting with the demigods. It's, you know, it seems some complexity is there in this pastime.
Yeah, at least in the version of the pastime. Now, we know these avatars, they come over and over again. We're getting a little tiny glimpse of what's going on in one day of Brahma or one lifetime of Brahma. So it's really unlimited how, with Krishna, we know also in the Bhagavatam it says that Krishna's incarnations are like the waves on a river. So they're unlimited. So they're all, there are different variations of these things. So about from the particular view that we're getting of these leelas in Srimad Bhagavatam, it does appear that they're just like Varaha, he doesn't seem to be interacting with other boars in what we hear in the Bhagavatam. Of course, he is on the cosmic proportions, walking around in the Garbhodaka ocean. But, yeah, but still, Prabhupada does talk about him interacting with other creatures of his own apparent kind sometime or other in some leela. We can read about it in some other Bhagavatam. Maybe on Brahma Loka, when we read the Bhagavatam there, we'll see more, hear more about it.
In Bhagavad Gita, that incarnation should not be considered from this world. Mm-hmm. Even though, like Hayagriva, this Prabhu mentioned, you can say Hayagriva actually was not there before. Hayagriva manifested because the demon Hayagriva, who got the boon that he wants to stay above the water. So he stole the Veda, and then he had a long, long neck that he came above it and nobody else could kill. But by the request of the Brahmaji, then the Lord took the form of a Hayagriva, a long neck horse that could kill. So it appears like, okay, demon caused the Lord to appear in that form. But Prabhupada put in the Bhagavad Gita, actually all the avatars are coming from Vaikuntha. Should not be thinking right, like it is coming from this world cause.
Yeah, they're eternal and they come at different
yes,
times and they can do different things in different ways when they come. They don't have to follow a script. Krishna can do whatever he wants at any time. All right, we'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.